Anita, just a question. The audit we did, when we did the 2019 audit, that was in 2020.
Right.
But in 2019, what did we do? I guess we did the 2018 audit?
Well, we did, if I remember correctly, 2017. It seems
Okay.
like 2018.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
Actually, I misspoke. We did the 2019 audit in April of this year, not 2020. That's what I was
Right.
trying to say. I misspoke.
That's okay, and I understood what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Good.
It was in fiscal 21. Okay, if I may go back to KPFA. And what I was doing essentially looking at row or line 36, which is net income, when I compare the net year to date, again, column AC, row 36, the end so far for June year to date is 411,000 versus prior year of 148,67. But keep in mind, 365,000 of that is in PPP money, so gain of about $46,000. Any questions on that? If not, we'll move over to KPFK. I am there again looking at total revenue. Again, ended at 2.3 million on row 17 against prior year of 2.31 million. Keep in mind, PPP funds were 322,000. But I will point out to you that line 8, listener support, year to date is 1,365,000. Versus prior year was 1,758,000, so that's a difference downward, of course, of 392,000, along with website income year to date of 430,000. That's up versus prior year of 350,000. So a net change, if you will, is $80,000, which is good on that line item. But primarily, the drop is in listener support. Coming down a little bit further, down in expenses, personnel costs are $1,356,000 versus $1,587,000. So it's a downward trend of $231,000, which in a way that we want to see that. Also see another decline in programming expenses year to date, line 23, 112,000 versus a prior year of 141, so a net gain of 28,000. If you look at the net income, row 35, as of year to date of June 30th, negative 90,819. So it's an improvement over prior year of 316,000, which was also in the red. But keep in mind, 322,000 of that was the PPP funds. Any questions on that?
Yes, this is Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
As I'd like to point out, back to that telemarketing problem or anomaly on line 99, the telemarketing is 57,830, and prior year was 6,380. So that's quite a variance. And then since we spend so much of our time speaking on KPFK, I thought I would also add in onto Anita's analysis of the net income of loss of $90,000, then the $322,000 PPP plus the $331,000 of central services P&O for a sum of $744,000 in the hole. So that's what we have to be, really be looking at, I think.
Totally agree with you, Linda. Moving on to KPFT. If you're there, I highlighted the year-to-date AC, line 8, listener support, down from prior year by about $77,000. Year-to-date is 477, and I'm sorry, year-to-date actual is 400,760. Prior year-to-date is 477,963. There's some reductions, variances throughout, but that is the one that stood out for me. PPP funds are $35,000. So the year-to-date actual row, line 15 rather, is $492,302 versus prior year of $558,617. I will point out personnel costs. Line 18 is down from prior year by about $32,000. And also administration expenses, I'll look further, $91,296 versus prior year of $126,000. So it's a swing of almost $35,000. And I will look to see what the difference is. Dramatically, consultant stamps and contractual is a swing of about $31,000. We can include that on the analysis if you would like to be able to see why that one is low, or a true reduction, if you will. Again, year road AC, line 33, net income, showing a loss of $45,903 versus $25,752 in the red. So swing of about $20,000. Keep in mind that $35,000 came from PPP. Any questions?
This is Lyndon. Stack.
Go ahead.
Yes, I would just, in fairness, gouging my own pig here. If you look at, adding the PPP or adding the PPP and the P&O central services, our loss would be more like $168,000. But if you add back what we should have got and have not had credited from the LaPorte House, that'd be 104 in our favor, so a net loss of 64.
Chris Corey of the Stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Lyndon, it appears to me that you're double deducting the central services. I think they're actually included in the bottom line. So you're right to deduct the PPP expenses. That's an extraordinary income. I think that's logical. But if you run the numbers through from top to bottom, I'm pretty sure that the accrual account known as central services is included.
It is included.
This is Lyndon for the Stack.
All right, Lyndon.
Yeah, I could be wrong, Chris, but I was thinking that the situation here is I'm including central services that we've been credited with having paid, but we have not paid.
Oh, I see. You're doing like a cash flow analysis. Okay, I got it.
Thank you. I'm saying if we want to get to zero, then we need to, we would have been expected to pay that amount.
I understand what you're getting at. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Correct. And that's why, quite frankly, because they have not been paid, the accrual obviously almost implies that it has been. If we may move on to WBAI.
Of course.
Again, looking at listener support, line 8, we are down about 110,000 from prior year. And ahead, major donors at 200,000 that they received in June. Ahead by 189,000 on that line item. So again, year to date income of $1,023,000, 94,000 of that was for PPP money against the prior year of $1,057,000. So still ahead about 79,000 from prior year. If you go a little bit further down in expenses, there's a variance. Year-to-date, $445,000 versus $478,000 prior year, about $32,000 swing. And I see programming expenses. It's an increase of about $38,545. That is row 19. Now I'm going to highlight that so we can check on that. The net income or loss on row 31 is a loss of $12,518 versus prior year of $176,000 loss. Again, with PPP being $94,000. Any questions on that?
Before we move on, I do want to talk about the salaries and related expenses.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. I see that the salaries are about $4,000 or $3,400 less. But what I'm really kind of seeing that's odd is that the FICA is even more savings than the salary, and the state unemployment insurance is also more than the savings in salary. And so I looked down further, and I saw, I think the contractors increased, and so they were sloughing salary, you know, which also got them savings on FICA and SUI, but it still looks out of whack. And then the fact that there's been no pension contributions for the year. And the health benefits are quite a bit lower, too. I guess that could go along with, but I don't know how you get all of that out of just reducing salary by $3,400.
I was just going by year-to-date. Actually, I have a note that Julia is doing some background analysis on this because it was brought up. So what I'm looking at, Linda, the personnel costs on line 16, that's where the $32,000 in total comes in.
Right, and I'm looking at rows 35 through 41.
Right. I was too. I just was there. The net, if you look on line 41, AF 32,784 is the same number that carries over. So what I was speaking at about was in total. Again,
Understood.
I see a point in salaries, but what we were looking at was really health insurance. I don't understand because I've got a side note on it on mine, and some of the taxes, just to make sure that is correct. Pension contribution also. Anything else? Any questions on that?
I have a question on that, Anita.
Yes, sir.
Bertolt talks about he doesn't handle the pension, that's done by NETA. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
HR
does that.
Correct.
I presume as the paychecks go out, they take care of that. Thank you.
Yes, it does. And as done by Cynthia Dobek, I'm sure some of y'all have heard of her. She's the HR person.
Yes, this is Lyndon. This is back. I just noticed the telephone expenses, although probably less than ours at Houston, but I really am kind of looking at that prior year, $3,300. I'd sure like to know how that's done. We could use that. And also that the fact that there's been no utilities paid this year, I guess perhaps those are rolled into your office rent, which is going up.
What row is that?
The utilities is 71 and the office rent is 68.
I see it. Okay.
And, of course, the telephones is 56.
Vicki, would you help me by jotting down some of these, please?
I am. I'm highlighting as we're going along.
Great. Thank you. In case I miss one. Thank you.
Sure.
And then we will do our analysis, and I promise I will get back to all of you on it. I agree. I do think it's strange, unless if it's on a different line item. Moving over to WPFW. Again, listener support is actually up by about 102,719. That's line 8, column AC against AE, if you will, as we're comparing to prior year to date. PPP funds are 111,000. They're in that total of 1,378,000. So ahead by that, about 140,000 from prior year. Personnel costs are lower by about 35,000. I'm on 17, line 17, but I will look down to 36 through 42. Only 12,338 was in salaries. Again, and also in health benefits, about almost 18,000. Line 41. Versus prior year of 115,000. Any questions so far?
Nick, this is... for the stack.
Go ahead, Nick.
So,
Anita, just a question and then a comment. So the PPP funds that are shown as forgiven, those are actually PPP loans that were received in 2020, correct?
Correct.
And is there approximate amount of the PPP loans that the foundation received for 2021?
No, so we've not received notification. We did receive the other day an email asking us to fill out the short form instead. So, I mean, that was, we took it as a good response. Tamara
sure.
is working on that because we fully expect forgiveness on that.
So would the amount of PPP funds received in 2021, do we expect to be similar to the amount that we received in 2020?
Yeah, it's very close. I don't have it in front of me, but it is, the amount is very close.
So I think this is an important point, and I think the committee has been reviewing these financial statements perhaps without a different perspective. I'm a commercial banker. I've been a commercial banker for small businesses and not-for-profits for over 30 years. I'll tell you what commercial bankers are saying about PPP funds and how they're treating it as income, particularly for not-for-profits who are greatly impacted by the fact that people just didn't have as much money to donate as they did in previous years. And if you look at our financial statements, what you're seeing is the PPP funds that we actually received in 2020, we didn't get forgiveness of until this fiscal year in 2021. So I think a perspective that the Finance Committee should have is that our company, the foundation and our individual stations were greatly impacted in 2020 by the pandemic and by people's lack of ability to give. And that was what the PPP program was for, to be able to supplement the fact that people did not have as much money to give. We are realizing the benefit of that in 2021 because the forgiveness did not happen until 2021. And probably similarly, we'll see the benefit of the forgiveness of the 2021 loans in fiscal year 2022. But I think it's a little bit conservative to state that the foundation is not doing as well as it is based on the fact that that PPP loan, as well as the other SBA support that was provided to companies like us, was designed to help companies like us during this time. So I'm just offering that as a perspective. That's how we as commercial lenders for small businesses like Pacifica Foundation are looking at it. And I would encourage the committee to also have perhaps, a different perspective than what's been laid out tonight about how the foundation is doing overall.
Lyndon for the stack.
Interesting. Go ahead, Lyndon.
I heard what Nick said that should be taken into account. I would also say that the things I've read said that Americans were flush with cash because of all the unemployment, the extra unemployment benefits and the stimulus funds that were sent out to individuals. So the wealth of the American people, I think, went up during this time. So we'll see how that plays out. And then I'd also like to add that I see here that there were no pension contributions. That's line 39. And maybe pension, they just are just paid once a year or something. Because BAI nor PFW have made pension contributions, although they had at this time last year.
I think we have 401(3B) contributions, but we don't necessarily have pension contributions. That's a question for HR, and it may be a categorization of those expenses, but they're not significant.
Well, they're on line 39 and 40, right next to each other.
Chris Corey to the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I had a question regarding line 21 on the WPFW financial report. Columns U and Y, those appear to be rather large, particularly compared to prior years. I'm wondering what that represents. The row in question is development expenses, and between those two items, we have over $50,000. Thank you.
Yeah, that is our telerep. 100% of our donations have to be done through the telerep service, and that is the reason for the increase.
Thanks, Nick. Can I add one more thing, Chair?
Go ahead, Chris.
I think very few people would argue with me on this. This is the most pleasing of the station reports. It shows growth in the right places, reduction in the right places, and the bottom line looks good. So this is what we would like to see for all the stations in happier times. Thank you.
Totally agree with you, Chris, on that. Thank you. You know, I just wanted to add one more column before I finish. If you have any suggestions, and certainly I'll talk with Vicki and with Julia and Tamara also, of a different way that we can present this information as we go on, as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year. This spreadsheet is really going to get that much bigger. So, again, if you have any thoughts or what have you, be happy for us to condense it. I would certainly like that. But I know some of you rely on that month-to-month comparison, if you will. So I totally understand that. But any notes, just send me an email. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Lyndon for the staff.
And Sharon for the staff.
I'd like to look at the P&O tab.
Be happy to.
Okay. Should I just go with my observations or?
Please. We will be okay. Making notes.
Okay. You'll see all the online row 68. That's the interest bank charges. Again, you'll see the December sticking out at $53,000. Then on office rent on line 74, if I was you guys in KPFK, I think I might be looking at that. And also think it was utilities. Yep, utilities. Zero utility, zero office rent. If I was KPFK, I'd be looking at that. And then there's a variance of a very big variance, percentage-wise, especially in programming. And then also the satellite fee is zero as compared to $24,000 the year before. And those are my observations.
Tell me again, Linda, the last one that you just mentioned.
The satellite fee, line 84.
Thank you. Okay. Again, between Vicki and I, we'll get you some analysis back.
Thank you, Anita. As you can see, I had too much time to look at this.
It's okay. I appreciate it. Anything
else?
Is
there anyone else?
Sharon for the staff.
Sharon, I heard Sharon, yes. Good.
Well, Anita, let me just ask my question. I think you're done with all the sheets and the analysis, because this is a slightly different question. Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to follow up on the last time we were here. You were talking about getting information to the auditors that they needed to complete the audit. And I know you were on vacation and you were doing all that. So I just was checking in to see if that happened and what the status is with the audit. And if, I, as far as you know, I believe my understanding is the deadline is still August 16th. So anything you could say on that, I would appreciate it.
The audit for FY20 was completed on June 30th before.
Oh, well, that's what was so confusing is because, maybe I'm wrong, because the last time, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think, let me back up. It was completed on time, what we thought was a deadline to FJC, I believe. Maybe I shouldn't even mention that. I forget we're on live streaming. But afterwards, I found out that it was not due. Actually, I thought it was the AG office, and according to who I talked to at the time, it was not due. We went ahead and submitted this week. The tax return was also filed. That one was due August 18th, I believe, but it was done on time. Auditors have it. We've received receipt from the auditors that it has been filed. I know that Eileen has now received the management letter, the final, with edits and what have you, and that's the last piece of the 2020 audit, and with all the other reports that we need to supply.
I didn't quite hear what you said, Anita, about the... You said Eileen had received, and then I couldn't quite understand what you said there.
The management letter.
Management? Is it?
Yes.
Management letter, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure. I just wasn't, I don't know, the word management letter, it wasn't like making sense in my brain, but okay, that's fine. Thank you. It must be like an auditor term or something.
It's in a sense recommendations, if you will, that we as a group will look at. It is called management letter. The document is confidential. I'm sure it will be shared with the audit committee or has been and the PND. Again, the recommendations for improvements, if you will.
Okay, and my last question is because I know there's confusion about the audit, and I understand what you were saying about it was submitted on June 30th or was finalized. But what I understood from the last time we were here was that it had been, there was some debate or whatever going on. Is that what this management letter is? And so because as far as I know, the audit has not been submitted to the AG yet. That's what I was actually trying to find out, if it has been submitted to the AG.
It has not been submitted by any TA. That's what you're asking.
Do you know if the auditors have submitted it to the Attorney General?
I don't know, because I asked them during that time. That's really when I found out that, first of all, they said that was not, if that was outside their capacity or jurisdiction. That's when I called the ICEO, really, to get direction. And that's when I found out that was not due. I mean, obviously, we needed to have completed the audit, so I don't feel that our time was wasted at all. But we did put in a lot of overtime to meet the deadline that we thought we had to meet. And, of course, it was, I think, due primarily because it needed to be submitted with the tax return. Lydia has that information also. So I think that I'll check whether it should be submitted this week at the latest, probably.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I would appreciate it if you would check. Thank you.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Chris, I just want to advise we're coming up on time certain, about a minute or less to go. And if we did not get to the KPFK budget, I would like to beat this to death. So if anybody wants to extend for a few minutes to get done with this examination of the June financials, I think that this is a good time to do it.
I move to extend. How many minutes do you want?
Let's go 15, Beth.
All right, so moved.
Is there any objection to extending for 15? Hearing none. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Is that the 990 form that was due on the 16th, Anita?
Yes, the 990 due on the 18th.
18th. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it for now. I'm looking forward to the discussion on KPFK. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion?
Our poll for going back a ways. I don't know if you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly. It was mentioned about utilities at BAI, and it looks a little strange. Don't quote me too far, but I remember the general manager telling us that there's been a change, and I think that we did in fact have the landlord picking up utilities for a while. However, WBAI uses a lot of electricity, and so that will have changed lately, or will change very, very, very soon. So that might be what's related to that little bit there, that it's being done two different ways if you look at it in two different years. That's all.
Thank you.
Chair?
Anything else?
James, are you muted?
So sorry. I was muted. I was actually trying to speak. I wanted to speak on the question that our Paul raised about the utilities. Just by way of explanation, we were charged a certain amount for electricity, and because we went above a certain usage, the electricity for the entire building was jacked up to the next level or a different level of cost. You have to pay a premium cost when your whole building uses above a certain amount of electricity. And we were doing that and causing the electric rates to go up for everybody in the building. And I don't know what the adjustment is that they made to that, but I think it has to do with that.
Okay. My understanding is we're going to get ourselves billed for it now.
Yeah.
Because the landlord had to deal with that and, you know. So that's my understanding. Now, I don't know, that could change, but that was my understanding at a meeting, what, 2-3 months ago? Something, I forget when, a little while ago.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else on the consolidated here for June? I was thinking that the extension was going to be to conclude the conversation on this, but if I think I heard Chris say he was looking forward to beginning the KPFK discussion, so if we've already extended for 15, if nobody has any objection, we can move ahead to the discussion of the KPFK budget. Is everybody done with the consolidated for June?
This is Julie. Can I just make one observation, which is, I think, probably as much for Anita as anybody else. But if you look at the individual unit tabs, and I'm not going to go through them all right now, but KPFK has a website income line, line 9 on their sheet, and they show a lot of income there. And the other KPFA has a website income line, but the other stations don't. And I just wondered whether KPFK is perhaps artificially separating out from listener support donations they get during their pledge drives, but that people make online on their website, and that other stations count that as listener support. And so I just make that observation and, you know, wonder if maybe you all could look at that a little bit and confirm that that's in fact what's going on next for next meeting.
I can look into that.
Good.
Thank you.
Could Fred be recognized?
All right, Fred.
Yes. We've asked this question of our business manager at KPFK, and the Allegiance system provides a breakout of web income, and we haven't been able to get any real clarification why they're breaking out this income from the web income from the regular fund drive income. Because in previous years this hasn't been done. And the web income seems a little high, but again, we've been asking this question at the local finance committee and not getting really good answers. And that's about all I really wanted to say, is that okay, I'm going to leave it at that.
Thank you, Fred. I have a question for Anita. Is that we started many moons ago talking about possibly unifying our charts of accounts and our ways of classifying items and making our financials more user-friendly by making them read similarly, so that people across the network can understand financials from other stations better. Is that an example of where we could improve how we're doing it?
Well, I think we would really need to look at these reports. That I realize that for KPFK, I've been told I can log in to see. I've tried it a couple times. I've not been able to access that. But really to see how they're recording this income based off of their deposits, if you will. So for comparison purposes, and that's also clearly across the board with expenses also. So let's say for something as simplistic as phone charges or cell phone, is everyone put in on the same line? We don't know that, but we see a lot of variances, as all of you do. Some of it I think is pretty clean, like salaries and related expenses, but I think administrative expenses are probably all over the place.
And again, there's a reason. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's a reason because...
I was going to say another statement. I wasn't asking the reason, but go ahead if you will.
I was just going to say it's really up to the individual business manager at the station. Because we, again, don't see the coding for an invoice, if you will. We're just taking it as these line items come in. I mean, when you consolidate a statement, and this is some of it is brought in through financials for each station, and some of it is hand key. I mean, it's imported in. But again, there's a variance, I'm sure, from station to station on the expense in particular. And I do remember being asked before about the website income. I also have never gotten a good answer.
And Anita, if I may again, there are reasons why we would want to have, for example, administrative expenses separated out correctly from, for example, program expenses, because when you go to some place like Charity Navigator, which many donors will use to evaluate a charity that they want to donate to, if your program expenses are higher and your administrative expenses are lower, that looks better to a potential donor, and it helps you get a better rating on the, for example, the Charity Navigator site. So there are reasons to do that better. Yeah. Is that not right? Okay.
Absolutely.
And if I may, one other thing. I'm sorry, Chris. Let me just finish this one other thing.
Sure.
This is a very specific question to Allegiance, but a question came up earlier today about at some, well, maybe one station, I'm not even sure if it was with us, a donor can actually go in on the software that they use, and I'm not sure if it's Allegiance, and look up their own record of donations. We have a problem at Pacifica where we don't notify people. Hopefully with Allegiance we will do better at this. We don't notify people when their membership is due for renewal. And if people can go in and check it themselves, then they can just, you know, take care of it. Is that a feature of Allegiance as far as you know? That may be way beyond your capacity to know.
Well, I've never heard of that, quite frankly. I mean, but Allegiance, I will tell you, is a very powerful tool. It's used across, you know, the industry and with many stations that we work with. The development folks at the station work on it. But I would think that would be your bread and butter if you don't solicit, you know, you don't let people know when they're going to last. I mean, how can you bring them in? So someone should be working that instead of relying on the individual person that contributes to say, oh, yes, and my, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm a member of South Carolina TV. So I get information from all the time. And then when my renewal comes up, I'm going to hear from them long before it's up that it's due.
Yes. Thank you. Did I hear Chris? Chris?
Oh, geez. James, I've already moved on to the KPFK thing, and I forgot what I was going to ask. I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask another quick question then, if I may. Anita, we passed a resolution a long time ago providing that you at NETA would have access to the bank accounts of all the stations, and I understand there's one station where we have not accomplished that yet. Do you have any progress report for that?
Not to my knowledge. I think it's still the same.
Okay. And I think we also passed a resolution on the PMB for the invoices to be provided to NETA from the different stations. Has that been implemented to any extent?
No, we're not seeing them. But frankly, I think the only way that that can happen is for us to provide a scanner where that information can come to us on a daily basis.
Yes.
That is really about it. And we can activate something like that in this year.
Yes. Hopefully we'll get more into that. And I know we talked about changing our chart of accounts. We said, well, we can't possibly do it this year, but maybe for the next fiscal year. Do you think we'll be able to do some of that? Anita, you might be muted. Can everyone hear me?
We hear you.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Thank you.
It seems like we may have lost Anita.
Yeah. Well, we're just about to go to time certain. Is there anybody who wants to extend, or do you think we're done with this for now? Okay, I'm not hearing anyone move to extend, so I think we can call ourselves adjourned, having reached time certain. Oh, hi, Anita.
James?
We were just adjourning, Anita. We reached time certain.
Okay.
James,
all right.
I'm showing 7:28 or 10:28 right now, not 10:30. I think your clock's a little fast.
But when we extended for 15 minutes, by my clock it was 10:15, so we did the 15 minutes.
I meant beyond the end of the meeting.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
I realize that we only have 2 minutes left here. I'm sorry to engage in a back and forth with you, but I would like at least like the opportunity to mention the items on the KPFK budget that I thought were a little bit weird and a little bit out of line and Netta about these items. And so I'm hoping that they'll look into it and gather more information for us next week. But I thought it might be valuable for me to list them publicly since we still have that opportunity for another minute here. Is that all right with you?
It's all right with me. And I have to tell you, I do now look at my cell phone and it is telling me it's 10:28. So, I stand corrected. So go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So the items that I thought were really odd on the KPFK budget were the phone, which has come up during the course of this discussion. There's legal expenses there, which I assumed, and I think I've had this corroborated, have to do with union negotiations. And that's fine. That's to be expected. There's three items in the administration section. There's utilities, general repairs, and / leased equipment. The combination of those three items is twice what it was in 2020, and I thought that was a little weird. And then finally, there's tower utilities, which I think has had some discussion in the past, and I am presuming that there's not a whole hell of a lot that can be done about it. I think it has something to do with the fact that the tower needs to be cooled or something, if I remember correctly. In any case, those were the items that I thought were pretty far out of whack. The labor budget actually appears to be coming pretty much into line with what other stations are paying in terms of just, you know, percent of revenues, if you want to choose that standard. It's the one I'm choosing. So I don't think that one is as troublesome as it has been in the past, but those other items, I think there's room for improvement in there. So I hope we can discuss that next week or week
after
next. Thanks.
Chris, a quick question for you on that. If you'll recall, we had discussion about the PRA cooling costs for the storage of the old tapes.
Yes.
And that required extraordinary electricity. Is that part of that?
It is part of it. It's for the second to the last thing that I mentioned, but it doesn't apply to the tower utilities. I'm assuming that the tower also requires cooling or something. I don't know why, but let me have a look at it here quickly. Yeah, it's quite a bit up from last year. So it's running 90,000 as an estimate for the year, and that's quite a bit higher than last year. So anyway, I'm curious about that.
Fred make a comment?
I would love to hear it if you don't mind taking the time. Thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
I think I've heard that transmitter is on Mount Wilson, and we get our electricity from Southern California Edison there, and I understand that the price of electricity has gone up. I've checked, that's happened on my local utility bills, because I'm also on Southern California Edison. Not the price of generating electricity, but the price of transmission from outside the region. I've noticed that the price of transmission has gone up from a couple of years ago from 3 cents a kilowatt to 12 cents a kilowatt. So that might partially explain the price increase for utilities.
Was there something about an increase in the rates because liability was established for starting some of the fires? and they have to do extra work on the lines to manage the trees and make sure the lines don't spark fires?
Well, I think they're also replacing some of the transmission facilities. Ultimately that's probably the issue.
This is Beth, if I may.
Yes, Beth.
There's a major issue in the Washington Post today precisely on this. In Northern California, where it's PG&E rather than Cal Edison, it looks pretty clear now that, you know, they have to gather evidence and certify it and all before they can state it definitively. But it looks pretty clear that these two currently the biggest fires in California this year, about to become the biggest ones in history, likely were started by known problems with the public utilities, with the electric transmission. And this is becoming a major, major issue. I've been following it closely for a few years, but I have no doubt that that has a lot to do with the rise in costs. PG&E went bankrupt last year and had to reorganize, and they're re-strategizing, reprioritizing. And I've seen a lot of poles being replaced down here. It doesn't make as much sense to me as actually burying them, and they're coming to that conclusion up north too. But we're likely to see some volatility in this, and likely further rises too. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I think you're the one I heard that from. Okay, we are now past our time certain. I think we need to go ahead and adjourn. I want to thank everyone and ask everyone to please study the KPFK budget for our next meeting. We have an opportunity to try and do something to help the current losses that we're experiencing, and I think we should grab that opportunity. So we'll do that next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Can you take us off the stream, Fred? Good night, everyone.